Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome, welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my guest today is a woman of influence, and she believes that hidden in the heart of every woman is a desire to be influential, to make a difference. And though I know almost half of our audience are comprised of men, I want you to stay tuned because you know women. And this, even there's days where we focus on male topics, and today we're focusing on the influence of a woman. But that matters to you as well. We've got a great conversation up ahead. Heisman Trophy winning athlete Tim Tebow credits his mom as the key to his success. But Pam Tebow never imagined in her wildest dreams that her family's name would be known around the world, and she's my guest today. We're talking about her new book titled Ripple Effects, Discover the Miraculous Motivating Power of a Woman's Influence. Pam Tebow travels and speaks across the country, encouraging audiences to use the incredible influence God has given them to eternally impact the world. She's won national awards for her ministry work, including Commission for Women's Inspiring Woman of the Year and the National Pro-Life Recognition Award. She and her husband, Bob, live in Florida. They've got 5 grown children, 8 grandchildren, and she also, you need to know this, will be one of the keynotes at the upcoming Set Apart Conference, which will be virtual this year on March 6th. Tickets are only $29, which gives you full access to all of the breakouts, including Pam's keynote messages. You'll find out more information at setapartconference.com. Pam, you and I got to chat just for a couple minutes, and I love you already. So nice to meet you. Welcome to the show.
Nice to meet you via phone, too.
Looking forward to our conversation. And we start every day talking scripture. And you and I just were off to the races even before we started recording because you love God's word. And you have a special verse you'd like to share today.
Yes, and this is just a recent verse. And Susie and I were talking about how we have our favorite verses over the years, but it's so exciting when you find a new one that's especially applicable. And I recently woke up from a successful spinal surgery. And when I did, I just opened the pages of my Bible. Of course, it was the middle of the night. No one was around. And I found a verse I'd never seen before. I'm sure I'd read it, but it didn't resonate like it did when I read it this time following successful surgery. And the verse is found in Deuteronomy 10, verse 21. He is your praise and He is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. And I was so overcome with gratitude that He is my praise and He is my God, and He does do great and awesome things for us. And it's just such a wonderful thing for us to be able to express our gratitude to the Lord, and we should do it more. I'm guilty of not doing it enough.
So beautiful. Would you mind giving some context to this story? Because you've had chronic neck issues for a number of years because of an unfortunate accident. So talk a bit more about that.
Well, I love to tell this story because I think it's an encouragement to people who hear it, that God can use even the hard things to honor Him and to grow us up and to have an impact, have influence. So I was walking through the door of a store. I was picking up a daughter from a youth group meeting, and a big piece of the door frame fell on my head, and I was knocked out. And as only God could do that week, I was teaching my my children. I have 5 kids, and we love to learn scripture, but the way I found that was really effective is to put them to tunes, because think about this, what's learned in song is remembered long. So I'm not musical. I can't read music or write music, but I found silly tunes to put verses to. So I wanted my children to learn, "In everything give thanks," and I could sing it for you, I guess, even with my bad voice. "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. If you tack the reference on it, you'll be able to find it again, just a hint if you decide to do this. But I woke up from being hit on the head with that verse going around in my head. I can't explain it, and I'll never get over it. because that one verse prevented me from having bitterness, because I've had issues ever since, and that was close to 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went to doctors, and of course insurance lawyers are brutal, and we didn't settle for $1 million, and, you know, basically had my medical bills paid for, but the doctors weren't successful because they just didn't think anything was really wrong with me. And yet for all those years I've had pain. But that one verse prevented me from being bitter. You know, bitterness will eat away at us and it will destroy us. It doesn't affect the people we're bitter against, but it affects us. And so that verse, that give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, is so impactful. And people might not have an injury like that, but we have so many disappointments. We have people disappoint us, or our job is terminated, or we get COVID. I mean, that's so common right now. And, you know, so many issues cause us to become bitter. And yet we can thank the Lord for our situation, and he can take that bitterness away and allow us the freedom that I don't think you can have if you don't know Jesus. So anyway, I love to share that story because I think it fits people, you know, of all ages, in all walks of life, that we can thank the Lord for the hard things that we're going through. And he's given me grace all these years. And I finally had surgery to finally recover from some of that pain. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. But I'll still continue to share my verse. Because
yeah,
I think we need it. I think we mm-hmm. do need the encouragement of God's word.
This is probably just a side note, but I just got to know, why did something fall on your head? What was wrong with the structure of the door frame?
I have no idea. You know, it was a long time ago, and suddenly the piece of the building was heavy, and it was laying right there beside me. And I mean, I was knocked out, and there were witnesses, but witnesses disappeared and the evidence disappeared, and they said I was just making it up, and I really wasn't injured, and it was just the oddest thing. But you know, even that, and especially that, could make you bitter because people distrust you and they think you're just trying to get money or whatever it is. But again, that verse just kept me going. And you know, then you have to live it out in front of your family, in front of those kids that are watching you, and they wonder, you know, does this really work? Well, they need to see it worked out in life. They need to see that you really do trust the Lord to prevent you from being bitter. And I think that impacts your children as they watch you, and your husband and your friends, and you know, the people that know you. And so I've been able to share that story over and over again at women's events, and it does seem to have an impact because we all go through things that, you know, could leave us bitter if we don't deal with it and give it to the Lord.
Oh, I love that you've stored it in such a way. And just friends, you know, Pam went into that surgery not being able to use her arm and came out with her arm working right away. Praise God for that.
Isn't that amazing? Yes.
Really amazing. And how so faithful. That's wonderful. Well, you open the book with a story about a time when you were pregnant with your son, Tim, and were told to abort him. Some know that story, but others definitely don't. So give us a little context of that story.
Well, obviously, I call these God stories, stories that are impossible apart from the power of God. But this one's my favorite God story, because it's the story of how God just spared this little boy. We lived on the mission field. We lived on an island in the Philippines. My husband is an evangelist, and he loves to, his passion is to get the gospel to people who've never heard it. And so we have lived on this island for about a year, and my husband was preaching in a remote village. He doesn't remember the name of it, but he remembers this, that he got down on his knees and he wept for all the babies that were being aborted in America. And it was in the context of weeping over aborted babies that he prayed, Lord, if you give us a son, we'll raise him to be a preacher and we'll name him Timmy or Timothy, which means honoring God. So he came home and told our four kids, and they were all excited about praying for a little brother named Timmy. And I wasn't quite as excited. I was older. I knew that conditions there on that island, the medical conditions weren't great. I'd had some amoeba and had been very sick. But anyway, I eventually prayed along with them, and the Lord answered that prayer. And And I had a really difficult time from the very beginning. And we went to the best doctor. There weren't a lot to choose from, but we went to the best one on that island. And she said, after doing some tests, that I needed to abort and abort immediately in order to save my life. Well, we prayed and we knew the risk, but we decided that we had to trust the Lord for this. We'd asked God for a son, and I recommend that women do seek medical help when they have these issues, and check with several doctors. But I didn't have any other plan B, so I just had to stay and wait it out. And it was really a very challenging time, but I had my four kids to keep me busy and my husband, and we were joyful and we trusted the Lord. And near the end of my pregnancy, the bleeding began to stop, and my husband picked me up and flew me to Manila, and I gave birth in a hospital, a good hospital, the best hospital in Manila in the Philippines, and I had a Filipino-American trained doctor, and he saved both of our lives. Mm. And when Timmy entered the world, the doctor looked at my husband and he said, "Mr. Tebow, I've delivered 25,000 babies, but I've never been a part of a miracle like this one." Mm. He said, "I can't even explain how he survived." But so we know that God wrote a wonderful story about Timmy, but it wasn't very well known until Timmy won the Heisman in 2007.
Stop here. We need to pause for a break.
Oh, sure.
So I'm going to pick that up on the other side. But, you even said in the book that when Timmy was born, he was malnourished. I mean,
oh,
there was so much to that story. And think if that would have happened, if you would have taken the doctor's orders. And you think of the work that your son has done and the testimony you have. Mm. Absolutely amazing. We're going to pause here. You're listening to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Pam Tebow. Her book is titled Ripple Effects, Discover the Miraculous Motivating Power of a Woman's Influence. Got a handful of copies to give away today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484 to get in on the drawing. Again, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. My special guest today is Pam Tebow. She's a mother of Tim Tebow. You know him maybe as a Heisman Trophy winner, an NFL player, or a humanitarian, or all of those things. And he credits so much of his success to his dear mother. And her book is titled Ripple Effects, Discover the Miraculous Motivating Power of a Woman's Influence. Got a handful of copies to give away today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So Pam, I had to jump in because we had to go to break. So you're giving a little context of here you're in the Philippines. And by the way, my daughter-in-law is Filipino. So two of my grandchildren are part Filipino.
We
love them
for
so
the dear Filipinos. They're the most kind, they're wonderful, kind, loving people.
Oh my goodness, I'm in love. So I love
beautiful
people. Oh, so beautiful. Anyway. So but you were saying how the doctor had charged you to abort your baby, Timmy, because your life was hanging in the balance. You, of course, opted not to, and you delivered this baby, and the doctor said this is an absolute miracle. Now, jump ahead to Timmy winning the Heisman Trophy and how your life changed after that.
Well, it did change, and interestingly enough, we told our story in small groups, but it wasn't nationally known. And then an ESPN reporter came to our home, interviewed us for 2 hours preceding the Heisman Trophy celebration, and we sat there in the audience watching the event, and we were stunned that preceding the announcement that Timmy was the first sophomore to win the Heisman Trophy, they showed our pro-life clip. Out of 2 hours of testimony, they picked that clip to put on national television. We were just amazed. I mean, Timmy won the Heisman, and then we got home from New York, and I already had opportunities to speak at pro-life events. I mean, only God could write a story like that. I could have never in my life imagined it. So it was really exciting, and we were thrilled to be able to talk about how God could spare his life.
You know, Pam, I remember when Focus on the Family, I used to do a live show with Focus, and we're great partners in ministry. And I remember when Jim Daly talked about the commercial that you guys did. I think it was a Super Bowl commercial.
Right.
And it was adorable. Timmy's kind of coming out of nowhere and kind of tackling you. It was so cute. And people loved it and were so moved by it. And then, of course, you've got the critics who are slamming you for it.
Exactly.
But that was so typical during that time where it, you know, I often say that so much judgment comes out of jealousy. And you could see people like singing his praises because he's such a fine young man and then criticizing him like crazy. And I remember one football announcer, somebody was kind of critiquing him because he was kneeling down. And the other guy said, say what you want about that guy. He said, but if my daughter's going to date one of the guys on the sidelines, I would pick him any day. And
aww.
I'm like, amen. So, but talk
amen.
About what that was like to navigate suddenly all this attention, but a lot of critique from what I think are jealous people.
Yes, that part has never been easy. We tried to not listen to the critics. And especially during that Super Bowl commercial time, I couldn't even listen to it. At the time, I was really busy. My second daughter was having another baby, and I was busy with her, and I was there. And then we watched the commercial, and I thought, oh, my, what's going to happen from this? And do you know that Barna did a survey following that commercial, and they found that over 5.5 million people said they had cause to rethink their stand on abortion. And it wasn't because that commercial said anything controversial. It was because of the media and all the critics who were blasting it. And so people had a chance to think about, you know, what does this really mean? And then they saw the commercial of a mom and a son, and they changed their minds. I can't explain it, but that's a God thing. So I'm grateful for that. Grateful for that. So we've, Timmy and I both have had a lot of opportunities to really stand for life, and we're grateful. We're so grateful that God allows us to do that. We could have never imagined it.
You know, it's one thing to respond or react in a moment in a humble way. But as I've watched him over the years, you can tell that he was raised with so much character because no matter how you bump into him, he's been gracious. People have been unrealistic in their critique, and yet he's been continually gracious. And I'm wondering, what was that like for him, especially just with when he was playing NFL and staying so true to his faith? What was that like for him?
Well, I don't think it was easy for him, and it wasn't easy for any of us, but we're a close family, and we have close friends. And so he would keep positive people, those people that could speak truth to him, around him. He would, you know, go from the critics to then the people that would remind him that, wait, God has a plan. He hasn't abandoned you. You know, he's going to use this for his glory. And so, you know, I think that's the key, that you need to have those trusted friends. You need to stay in the Word. You need to be reminded of God's faithfulness, that this is part of his plan, even though it's hard. You know, that he could turn it around. God uses everything. And I think people are dealing with that now, you know, trying to think through how do we cope with this pandemic? But God uses it all to, you know, to grow us up and to use us to honor him in whatever situation we're in as we trust him. But, yeah, that was tough. It's really tough on the mom. But we survived. We survived.
Yeah, you sure did. And I'm sure it just drove you deeper in the Lord and towards each other. Yeah,
that's
you band
right.
together. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things are just proven right over time, you know. You know, after a while, you start to see, well, you're just petty. Because you know? You can't, that's your worst thing you got because he kneels on the sideline. Oh, my word. So, anyway, well, on this book, Ripple Effects, you know, again, you know, you were just behind the scenes, this mama and this missionary mom, you know, raising your kids with no idea that God would kind of thrust you onto a world stage. But I want you to talk about that, the idea, the ripple effect. There's time, we don't, you know, in a day where people are loving celebrity and fame, there are, some people are vying for that. But
I
feel, you know, something different than that is behind the scenes, a quiet, faithful heart going, Lord, you decide with my life. So talk about the kind of ripple effect you're talking about.
Well, I think that, you know, knowing that you can have an impact on the people around you just wakes you up with purpose each day. You know, I felt like that with my children. You know, I had five and a husband, and I could even impact all of them just by my attitude and my belief in them. You know, husbands, men need encouragement. It's a hard world out there, and my husband has, it's not an easy thing to, he does, to, you know, to And, of course, there's controversy surrounding that. But to believe in him and encourage him and pray for him and do the same with our kids. You know, I loved being able to rear them, that God had a plan for them and that God was going to use them and just teach them scripture along the way and, you know, just verses and character and the things that would benefit them for their whole life. And I think that pays off. You know, you invest in them, and then they turn around now and invest in their kids. One of my favorite stories, and I don't know if you have time for this, but I love this story. I taught my kids, sang to them every night. When we first moved to the Philippines, we had a robber come into our room, and it was, you know, everybody had fear. And so I put another verse to a tune. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. And God whose word I praise, and God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Anyway, I put that to a tune, and I sang that to my kids every night before they went to bed because I wanted to have courageous kids, kids that would stand up against the crowd and could, you know, could not be afraid to try out for the part in the play or the part in the team or a job. And so I sang that verse to them, and then a few years ago, I went to visit my daughter. My two daughters were together, and they had five of our grandkids there at a birthday party. It was a wild day of, you know, games and presents and active little kids. And my daughter said, "Mom, you go put the kids to bed." So they said, Grandma, tell us a story and sing us a song." So I started to tell them a story, and then I began to sing a favorite song, When I Am Afraid, I Will Put My Trust in You. And all five of those kids sang along with me. They knew every word. And I realized that's the ripple effect because I loved the scripture and I taught it to my kids. And then my kids taught it to their kids. And it has ripples. And I went back to my room and just sobbed happy tears because I thought, Lord, that's the point. You know, that's why we want to have an impact on someone because they're going to turn around and have an impact on someone else. And it's a positive impact that we're talking about. We can have negative impacts too, but, you know, our goal is to have positive influence so that we can really make a difference in the lives around us. And then those people turn around and make a difference in the lives around them. And it's not just, those aren't just words. That really does happen, you know, sometimes take a lot of time to do it, you know, those moments of a mother teaching kids or a teacher in a school teaching her students or, you know, a professor or just being kind to your fellow employees. Or you can apply it in every situation. We can all have that ripple effect.
Wow. Talking to Pam Tebow today, her book is titled Ripple Effects, Discover the Miraculous Motivating Power of a Woman's Influence. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. As we go out to break, I just want to read this. Pam says, when we reflect God's character through the gifts and opportunities he gives us, we are like rocks tossed into a pond, producing ripple effects that inspire those in our spheres and beyond to think and act differently. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the key components to influence that Pam has identified. More with Pam Tebow in just a moment.
Make way through the waters, walk me through the fire, do what you are famous for, what you are famous for, shut the mouths of lions, bring dry bones to life, do what you are famous for, what you are famous for.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Sizzy Larson Live, having a great conversation with Pam Tebow. She's the mom of Tim Tebow. She's many more things than that. She's got five children, I think eight grandchildren. She ministers all over the world with her husband, and she's written a new book titled Ripple Effects, Discover the Miraculous Motivating Power of a Woman's Influence. Super excited. We've got a handful of copies of this hardcover book to give away. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. You know, I was nominated for this John Maxwell Leadership Award a couple years in a row.
That's a great award.
It is. It's amazing. And I thought they had the wrong number. So I said, I think you might have gotten the wrong person.
Oh, I doubt that.
Yeah, I did say that because I'm like, I don't lead a big church. I don't, you know. And they said, no, John Maxwell talks about influence is that you impact people's lives. You know, you steward your influence in a way that changes lives. And it was really like, for one, it was an amazing, an amazing honor. But on the other hand, it was like it was a wake-up call. I mean, I'm very serious about stewardship, but I did probably minimize my impact until that conversation happened.
Aww.
And really kind of powerful. But I say all that to say, I'm sure there are a lot of people who have a misunderstanding of what influence is and isn't. So they may tune you out going, well, I don't have the world stage, or I don't have. So talk about what influence isn't, and then let's talk about what it is.
Well, that's a good point. I think you just described what influence is. And I think we all have it, whether it's negative or positive, because people watch what we do, especially the people that we're close to, the people that we interact with on a regular basis. And so I think intentional about the way we live our lives if our goal is positive influence. I mean, we think about it. You know, I make that a goal, and I think it's a good thing to have in our minds to, you know, to be able to process that. And think about it. How are we impacting them? Now, you're right about how we can do it negatively. I think that if you lose your temper, if you criticize someone unjustly or even justly, just the fact that you're criticizing them, especially if you do it in front of people, you have influence too. You wear people down. And we live in a society that's full of cutting remarks, and people are always tearing down others. The media, They want to print all the negatives, and that's really difficult to get by in such a negative world. But we can do just the opposite and believe in people and build them up and give them the courage to keep on keeping on, you know, despite the hardships they may face. So I think we have the potential to really make a big difference and have an eternal imprint on the people we, you know, that are around us that we encounter in our lives.
Amen and amen. Well, you identified six key components to influence: master, manual, prayer, mindset, mission, and passion. Can you just briefly touch on each of these? Start with the master.
Oh, I can remember agonizing over this and just crying out to the Lord, are some of them I knew for sure. Obviously, you know, it starts with master, in the beginning, God. And I call him a master because he's not just the Lord to us. He is the Lord, but he should run our lives, because that's so important that he's really the master. You know, we give him control of our lives, and I feel like that's the key. That's where it all starts, is that God is the master of our lives. And then manual, and I can't tell you how much I love God's word, because I've needed it so much. You know, there have been so many opportunities in my life to have ministry, but I would have nothing to say if I couldn't back it up with scripture. That's just been such a key for me through the years, is to find verses and to apply them to life, and, you know, to share them with other people. And so I love that. I love the Bible. I love how God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's really impacts us. And then prayer, obviously we know what that means. It's just talking to our Heavenly Father. I can remember hearing our son Timmy tell a group of middle school boys, well, prayer is just having a running conversation with God. You can talk to him when you throw the football, when you sit in a huddle, when you're on the bench. You know, he really described it. That's what prayer is. You can have a running conversation with God, with the thing that we can talk to our God about anything and everything, and that's a privilege. And then mindset. Mindset's different. I don't know that everyone grasps that right away, but I feel like we can have certain mindsets that make us more influential, like serving other people. You know, serving isn't necessarily valued in our world, but my children watch my husband serve the least of these and the orphans. We started an orphanage in the Philippines and safe houses in some Asian countries for rescued girls, and our kids watch that. And as a result, you know, we have one of our kids is on the mission field. Our son Timmy works now in rescuing, and he has orphanages, and our other kids are involved in serving ministries because they watched their dad serve. And I think it had such an impact on him, and it just really honors the Lord. The scripture says the greatest among you will be a servant. So I love that one. And then the power of words, you know, what we say really has an impact on other people. We need to open our mouths in wisdom with the teaching of kindness on our tongue. And I think that is so important, especially as women. We talk a lot. We need to think about what we say when we talk. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm as guilty as anyone else about not saying words that are edifying. And so I've had to work on that over the years, to really think about what I say before I say them, pray that God will give me grace, you know, grace to know how to respond to each person is a verse I quote often. And then another mindset is that we need to think about the rewards in heaven. My husband has really been so, I think he's thought ahead to what really makes an impact on us. And he works for eternal rewards. So he's taught our family that, you know, this isn't all there is. That we get rewards in heaven for doing what God has called us to do and things that honor him. And that's motivating. That keeps you going when you know, maybe you aren't appreciated or life is hard. And so that's really impacted our family, is working for those eternal things that we can't see, but we believe because Scripture describes them. So, and then having a mission. I think everybody needs to have a mission, something that you feel called to, not necessarily a job, but maybe it's, for me, it was, you know, rearing my family to love the Lord. That was my mission for a season, and my mission has changed now, and I love to, you know, I love the ministry that God has given me to speak at events and to, you know, to write and to continue to encourage now my older children and my grandchildren. But our missions change, but we need to, you know, God's word says that we're created for good works which God prepared beforehand for us. So God has prepared good works for each of us to do, and I really think that's our mission. You know, you have a mission. You have a mission to minister through your radio programs, and God's given us all different missions. So I think we need to look for them and be serious about just giving our all to it, to the missions that God has given us. And then I think people need to see our passion for the Lord, our passion for his word, our passion for our mission. You know, I can hear passion in your voice as you talk. You know, you love your listeners. You want to impact them. You want to have influence. So I think they need to see, people need to see, do we really believe what we're talking about? Well, if we do, then we'll be passionate about it. And I think that shows. It shows in our face. It shows in our, and you know, in our words. And so, anyway, those are my six points, briefly, very briefly.
Beautiful. Well done. And I love this. You said it's not enough to believe that God has the right to be our master. We have a free will, and God won't force us to turn over the control of our lives to him. We must allow the God who created us and has a wonderful plan for us to be the master of our lives. Then he must be the master of each new day. And that really, you know, I always say his will for us is our best case scenario. So the more we get to know him, we can be anchored to his goodness and his character and his fatherly concern. You know, why trust is so important, but hard to trust someone you don't know, and you don't know if their intentions are for you. And I just, it is one of my passions to see people's, their souls restored from all the things they've walked through so that they can rightly hear the voice of God, know his voice, know what he sounds like so they can follow him. And wow, so powerful. Well, there was a point where you had your little ones. You had four. You didn't have your fifth one yet. And God spoke to you, if I remember right, in the book, in the night hours about going back to the Philippines. Am I remembering this right?
Well, when before I had Timmy, I had four little ones, and my husband we lived in Florida. Our home is Florida, and he was traveling to speak at an event, and it was kind of late at night, and he was driving, and he just felt like the Lord impressed upon him that God was calling him to go to the mission field. I mean, he's been to seminary. He has a lot of degrees. He was a pastor at the time, and yet he's always had a heart for leading people to Christ. He's an evangelist. That's his heart. And so God just called him to the Philippines. He'd been with a whole group of pastors on a mission trip, and he just said immediately, "Yes, Lord, I'll go." At the very same time, we compared notes later. I was at home in bed, and all my kids were asleep, and, you know, I had a baby. Peter, our fourth child, was a baby at the time, and I had the same experience, only I said, but Lord, what about our house? And I have four little kids, and what will we do, and how we sell our house, and where will we go? And then after a while, I said, okay, I trust you, Lord. I had been memorizing a verse at the time. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Nothing is too difficult for me. And that verse kept going around and around in my head, and I thought, you know, sending a family to the mission field isn't too difficult for God, so I'm just going to trust him. And my husband came home to tell me he'd been called, and I said, oh, God was so good. He didn't have to call me. I would have gone, but he did. So it was great that God did that, because we did endure a whole lot of trials, but it was okay, because that's what God had for us, and he grew us up through the process of trusting him. So, and then the coolest part of that, too, is that our kids watched us trust him. And one of my favorite moments, talk about ripple effects, is when my oldest daughter came to me and she said, Mom, God has called Joey, your husband, wonderful husband, and I to go to the mission field. And she said, we can't wait to trust God for all of our missionary ventures like you and Daddy did. Wow. And I just cried, because I thought, Lord, what if I hadn't trusted you? You know, would she still be going? Would she still feel like she could trust you? So I'm so grateful. You know, there were a lot of moments that I had to cry out to the Lord, but, you know, I guess she didn't see those, but she saw the overall effort to keep hanging on to God, even when you couldn't figure out what to do next. So we're grateful for that. But that's one of my favorite ripple effects.
Wow. And how many years were you there?
You know, we were only in the Philippines for 5 or 6 years, but my husband, and God sent us back, our board brought us back, because my husband and one of our daughters had a real reaction to the air there is just pretty contaminated, and so they were always sick. But then my husband turned around and built a staff, because he felt like he couldn't do everything he wanted to do by himself. And so over the years, he built up to 60 staff who are all preaching on all the islands, and he has a boat ministry to go to the different islands where people never come off, so they could be ministered to. And then he takes mission groups several times a year and teaches them how to share the gospel. And, you know, they've allowed my husband to get into the schools, all the schools in the Philippines. So he brings in these groups and they share Christ in the schools. So hundreds or even thousands of young people and adults have been on these mission trips. So we think, Lord, you knew this all along. So that's why you brought us home. So all our kids ended up, you know, going back, and they couldn't wait till they were old enough to go on the mission trip and get to have all those adventures. So it's just, God always has a good plan. We sure couldn't figure that out. But anyway, God did. I remember telling my husband, wait a minute, God called us here. I can't go home now. I can't go home yet. but I'm glad I did. It was the right thing to do. And I know. Isn't that interesting? God sure does know more than we do, doesn't he?
He sure does. You know, he was laying the foundation so that he could come back and build even a bigger work. We're going to pause here, but, you know, I just marvel at that story and God's faithfulness to you and your willingness to follow him. Wow. Talking to Pam Tebow today, her book is Ripple Effects, Discover the Miraculous Motivating Power of a Woman's Influence. We'll be back in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Pam Tebow today. What an amazing story. Pam, I sure hope that they're in the process of making a movie about your family's lives because
oh,
it's,
I don't know about that.
I'd be the first to buy a ticket. What a phenomenal story. And if you're interested in the Thibault's story, check out her book, Ripple Effects, Discover the Miraculous Motivating Power of a Woman's Influence. And also, Pam is our keynote this year at the Set Apart Conference, March 6th. It's a virtual online conference this year. Find all that information at setapartconference.com. I love this. You said, every woman's story can be better than a Disney or Hallmark movie when we allow the Lord to be our master director. I love that for so many reasons because, you know, the tension and the conflict is so minuscule in these and they're so predictable. My hubby will watch a Hallmark with me and he'll be like, you know, they can blow up a building anytime now, just anytime.
Oh, my husband is the same. He gets, I'm a Hallmark lover too, and my husband gets the biggest kick out of me. We have different tastes in movies, but I'm with you. I like the happy endings.
I do, yeah. He talks, you know, just a car chase, just one car chase. But the idea, though, is things get tied up in a nice, tidy bow in a short amount of time. And like you, you know, you went to the Philippines, and you had some hard, hard things that happened there. But you still have a life that's an incredible story. So maybe speak to the person who has kind of a pie in the sky idea of what they want their life to be. But if they could trust Jesus, it would be far more substantial than they can imagine it to be.
Oh, it's so true. This week I was reminded again of the verse that most everybody knows, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he directs your path. Well, sometimes your path is not what you would choose, but he's directing your path. And that path takes us on some interesting journeys, you know, up hills and through forests and swamps and all kinds of things that we wouldn't choose if we were writing our own story. But in the process of it all, God writes a better story. I always call them God stories because he orchestrates them if we let him. And we're so much better off for it. I wouldn't have anything to say if I hadn't trusted him for some of these crazy adventures. No, and I'm so grateful. I mean, and it wasn't that I was a person of great faith. I just had to hang on. And then when God comes through, then you can trust him for the next thing and the next thing, even the very hard things. And everybody has had, if you've lived any time at all, hard things. And, you know, we just almost lost my husband to COVID, and we didn't, and we're grateful. But, you know, those are things that, oh, my goodness, it happened so suddenly, and that's another God story, just an amazing story. But it just reminds you that, you know, life is brief, and you want to live it for the Lord because he's going to give you the most out of it. You're going to have such an amazing opportunity to trust him and then see him come through. And then hopefully, you know, one day you'll have lots of God stories to tell about how faithful your God is. And I think it impacts, that's the biggest ripple effect. People watch you. They watch you as you trust God because they want to know if it really works. Does he really come through? Is he enough? Is he able? And I, you know, through the hard times especially, so I really feel like that's the way you show him off. You know, you show him off to the world when you trust him in spite of not being able to see how the story's going to end or if it's going to be that Hallmark, you know, happy ending. There will be a happy ending. You know, if we know Jesus, we'll have a happy ending. So we can count on that. But sometimes it's a little rough along the way. But that just builds our character, right?
Indeed, indeed, amen. You say this, our influence is not about whether we are adequate. It's about allowing God to use us and our experiences to leave an eternal imprint on the people we encounter in our lives. And Pam, I'm thinking about the person listening today going, man, after hearing Pam, I wish I had a do-over with my kids. I wish I would have taught them scripture. I wish I would have sung to them. And, you know, their kids are grown now and they're maybe feeling a little bit down going, I didn't do it the way I could have, should have. What advice would you have for that, dear mama, listening today?
Oh, and, you know, I felt like that. Everyone has felt like that. We all blow it, but that's why we need the Lord because that's the only people that he has, the people that blow it and people that make mistakes and sinners saved by grace. And so I just think he takes you where you are. You just start where you are. And, you know, God will just put his arms around you, I think, and lead you forward. And it's not always going to be easy, and you're going to make mistakes. And, you know, a lot of us, I didn't come from a Christian family, and neither did my husband. And so we had to just, you know, start where we were. And we knew very little, and we knew nothing about family, you know, raising a family or having kids or any of that along the way, ministry. We had to just learn as we went. But God's faithful, and he forgives us. That's the most amazing thing about a relationship with God, is that because Jesus went to the cross for us and died for those sins, that when we ask forgiveness, we're forgiven and we're clean and we can start again. So I just encourage people, and I mean, I have to do this. I have to start out every day just thinking, oh, yeah, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. Please forgive me for that. And I think God just forgives us, and then he wipes that slate clean. And we're so grateful that we really do want to honor him and please him, and then we just keep going forward. Mm-hmm. No, but we're always going to deal with sin until we go to heaven. But I think it's really important not to let Satan deceive you into thinking that you can't make it, or you're not good enough, or God doesn't forgive you this time, or that sin's too great. Don't believe it, because I think he's so deceptive and always is trying to keep us from the freedom that we can have in Christ and the new start that's ours as we trust him each day. Don't you
so
agree
true.
With that, Susie?
Oh. 100%. And, you know, what I marvel when I think of Romans 8:28, that he truly works all things together for the good
right.
of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I think about, if you want to do over, you know, you're not going to get that. But God can redeem and renew all things. And he knew who you were when he got you. He knew where you'd be at as a parent when you
That's
were there.
Right.
And he can
right.
redeem it, can't he? That's an incredible thing.
That's it. That's it. And it's so amazing how he does that. And you look back and you think, only God could do that. And
mm-hmm.
we're so grateful. We're so grateful that he can do that. That's a great point.
Mm. What do you know about God now that you didn't know 5-10 years ago?
Oh, I know that he can still be with you as you get older, and a lot mm-hmm. of people think that you're done, but you're never done. You know, my husband and I are older, but God is just giving us such a zeal, a continued zeal, to keep honoring him and to keep on keeping on. And as we have these grandchildren, and, you know, life looks a little different, and, you know, your hair gets a little gray, that God is still a faithful God. And he still gives you things to do. You don't ever really retire in the Christian life. I think he continues to give you opportunities to honor him and to, you know, to minister in his name. And so that's exciting, because a lot of people don't, you know, our society doesn't necessarily value the older folks. So some of you that are listening might not be able to identify with that, but there'll come a time. You know, as we may have issues, health issues or whatever is going on, but God can still use all that. You know, he's not yep. never done with us until we go to heaven, and then we're, you know, we still have a life. It's just an eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm encouraged by that, because
yeah.
A lot of times you hear the older people just want to give up or
yeah.
stop or slow down.
Mm-hmm.
But
we live in a culture that really tries to diminish the value of the unborn, of our babies and our elderly. But anybody, you know, who's got spiritual discernment sees the value of both the elderly and our babies. And, you know, there are so many who are just would give anything to be impacted by the wisdom that you and your husband have acquired over the years. And I just pray God will continue to open doors and use you in the most surprising way. Pam, I hope you'll come back, because this was just a fantastic conversation. And we're up to the end of our show here, but thank you for just investing in our listeners. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Susie. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, looking forward to talking again. Pam Tebow, everybody. And if you want information on the conference that she's keynoting in the local Twin Cities area, check out setapartconference.com. Her book is titled Ripple Effects: Discover the Miraculous Motivating Power of a Woman's Influence. And we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.